Yeah, so sorry I'm not around right now, but Tommy and Eddie have the Professionally Questionable podcast in very good hands. In the meantime, from the road, I just want to shout out all of our sponsors, especially Carol and Manchester Inklink, Brian Lawrence, Brian Lawrence Properties, The Red Arrow, Brady Sullivan Properties, Keller Williams Real Estate, and anyone else who's had a hand in starting our podcast and getting it off the ground. Thank you, everyone. We know that the podcast is now in good hands because of your support and your help. And, you know, hopefully I'll be back soon. But expect some content from out on the road. We got some wild guests lined up for this summer. So be there. Check in. It's going to be a great time. So without further ado, thank you. And here's this episode. Professionally Questionable, over and out.
And welcome back to another episode of Professionally Questionable podcast. Sorry for the delay on not having an episode last week. We experienced a little bit of audio issues. Back again this week. Fantastic guests. Make sure to listen through the whole thing.
You think you're some sort of philosopher, some sort of question asker. You think you're professionally questionable, don't you?
Ladies and gentlemen, how are we? Welcome back. Eddie, how's it going? Another episode.
Another episode in the books this week. I think it's going to be a good one.
Who do we have on?
We have on Mr. Weber. He is the owner of the restaurant Goldenrods, a fan favorite for the Manchester community.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a really good episode. I reached out to him about a month ago about coming on, and I'm happy to see things finally come to fruition. It should be fantastic.
Absolutely. For those of you who don't know, Goldenrods is a local Manchester restaurant over by the, is it the Reservoir?
Off 101, exit 1. Yeah, over by Massabesic.
Massabesic, yeah.
Yeah, right over there. Yeah, fantastic food. Very well known for the chicken fingers.
Absolutely. And seafood as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. No, it should be good. And yeah, enjoy. No, so we just wanted to have you on just to chat about Goldenrods. We started this podcast. We've been in talks for like months about it. And we just want to shine some limelight about cool people in the Manchester, Southern New Hampshire area, because we feel like, honestly, they don't get, Manchester in general doesn't get a lot of cool, you know, limelight a lot of times, you know what I'm saying?
No, it's definitely a bad rap with Manchester.
Yeah, and feel free, you can pull that mic a little bit closer. We usually say like 4 to 5 inches away from you. Yeah, but no, so what's your full name, Mr. Weber?
Richard Weber.
Richard Weber. So you are Goldenrod. We already talked about Goldenrod, the restaurant, on our little intro we did, but we want to talk about, you know, your come up, how you even got in the position to be owning Goldenrod.
All right. So the come up is I was working at the back room at the time with my business partner, Ron DeBurrow, and I was going to school for teaching, and I was almost a police officer. I was working up at the prison, working at the back room. I was on the waiting list on the Manchester Police Force when I got the phone call from Ron when he got the opportunity. And he asked me to be his partner. We used to do catering on the side together. He said that would be a good fit. And I said, let me look at numbers. We had a can of Coke and a slice of Sal's pizza in his kitchen with the previous owner, John Stavropoulos. And yeah, it all came together.
Nice. So did you grow up in Manchester?
I did not. I was a military brat.
Really?
Yeah. So I moved around quite a bit. And then my senior year of high school, we moved up here, and I graduated from Central.
So where were you initially?
Well, before that, I was in Maryland.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Maryland. And then you said senior year, you moved up?
Yeah, senior year of high school.
So what were you doing senior year? What were you doing just like work-wise? Were you doing anything? Were you just
Working at Burger King.
Okay. Yeah. Which one?
Yeah, the one in Hooksett that's now Tucker's.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I know that location. And what was your experience, like, how'd you like Manchester when you first?
I thought it was very interesting. So I came from a military base. I lived a long time in Massachusetts when I was young. But Yeah, I like the city vibe, but it's not really, it's the smallest city you'll ever go to in your entire
exactly.
life.
Exactly. That's what we talk about. It's like, it's not big, but it's also not that, it's not small enough to be a town.
Right.
It's right in the middle, which I love because there's a lot, you know, there's a lot more things to do and whatnot. You go to places like Goffstown and stuff, and it's more the rural stuff and right. all that.
So when you said you, did you ever pursue your career in the police force?
Or? So yeah, I tried out for the police force, but back in, let's see, it was probably 2000. Yeah, it was about 2000. They weren't really hiring. So I went down to Central High School, took a test with 300 other people, passed the test. Then you go to the physical part, mm-hmm. pass the physical part. Then you go to another part. So when I got to the last part, there were 27 of us vying for 6 jobs. And they usually hired ex-military, or people would have part-time jobs in towns and try to get on a police force because mm-hmm. it was a coveted job and you couldn't get on.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So then when you're talking, you said you were working at the Puritan. At what point was that at?
Oh, that was, so let's see. I graduated high school. I moved to Montana, came back when my mom got sick. So 95.
That for work you moved to Montana for?
Yeah, I went out and followed a girl. She was going to be a pastry chef, and I got a job as a dishwasher. And the first week I was there, you had to open it up. So it was Glacier National Park, uh-huh. beautiful place. You had to open it up, so you had to just scour the place. So we're just scrubbing, and everyone's going to town. There was probably like, I don't know, 800 employees there. It's a big place. Mm-hmm. So a bunch of us are in the kitchen, we're scrubbing, and the chef came up to me and he goes, oh, what position on the line do you like? And I was like, I don't know. I got hired as a dishwasher. I just came out here because my girlfriend came. He goes, work way too hard to be a dishwasher. You're a cook now. And that's how I started cooking.
Really?
Yeah.
What was that experience like learning all
that? That was crazy because that chef, he was a great chef. He worked at the Four Seasons in Chicago. His name was Dino Simone. And he taught me a ton. And the next year, at the end of that summer, I became a sous chef. And the next year I came back, I was a sous chef again. And then my mom got sick, so I came home. And I got a job at the back room.
Wow.
Yeah.
The back room at the time, how different was it than what it is now?
It wasn't too much different. They probably have 2 more cooks on the line. So when I was there, it started expanding. They started doing sauté and things like that. They didn't just have their normal staples. They had specials on the weekends, so shrimp scampi, tenderloin Oscar, that kind of thing. Yeah.
So when you're younger, like you said, your senior year, Goldenrod's, did you ever go there before?
I went there once. I got a large French fry and a frappe.
And that was it?
That was it. Yeah, because my girlfriend at the time, I met a girl, she was from Memorial.
Uh-huh.
And that's where they always used to go because I was a central kid.
Yeah, that's funny. And then how many years into working at Puritan did all of a sudden, was it, how long did you work at Puritan for?
So I actually worked there even when I was working at Goldenrod for a little while because it was tough starting out.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
But before you got the chance to buy Goldenrod?
90, all right, so 21, 22. So yeah, I'd say 95 is when I started at the Puritan.
And so I want to talk about that breakdown of even what was your mind like at the time when you got when the guy called you for the opportunity to buy Goldenrod and to be part owner of it.
Well, so it blew my mind. And at that time, I'm like, do I want to be a police officer or do I want to own a restaurant? Mm-hmm. And I sat down and talked with my wife because we had just, yeah, we just got married. Uh-huh. And we had a long discussion beforehand, and she wasn't really thrilled about me being out on the streets and, you know,
yeah,
the whole life at risk thing. Sure. Because I had worked at the Concord prison for a year and a half before that. Yeah. So she was always a little nervous, and I'm like, if I can hang in a prison, it's not going to be any problem being here.
Yeah.
But we had the conversation, and yeah, we chose Goldenrod.
Were you worried at all? Like, what if this fails, or was it?
I was worried a little bit at the beginning, just because there was so much construction on Candia Road at the time. You guys obviously don't remember. You were probably just born. Uh-huh. But the road was all ripped up. Mm-hmm. So there's dust everywhere. Traffic wasn't heavy on the road at that time. We knew it would be at some point. But, I mean, we were struggling when we first started.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And was it struggling? How was it?
because it must have been booming because it started in, what was it,
1951. July 2nd.
So it was nice, though, because you had the...
Oh, yeah. It's great to have the history, but the problem, you're trying to support two owners and a full staff.
Okay, that makes sense.
And you don't have much foot traffic. So what we did, we came up with this idea, hey, why don't we do some off-site catering? So we bought a truck, and we got a big utility trailer, and I used to cater as far as Rochester, Laconia, Littleton. I mean, you name it. I would go and do these parties for these assisted living homes just to try to pay the bills. And then all of a sudden, it was the Patriots' second Super Bowl? Yeah, second Super Bowl. We decided to have this deal, tender meal deal for the Patriots. And that, all of a sudden, we were like, holy smokes, this catering that people can pick up is really taken off. Why don't we try to expand that? So now, I mean, the reason why I was a little late today is I was making meatballs. So, I mean, we make meatballs, lasagna, chop suey, you name it, and people come and pick up pans. We have probably 45 orders going out tomorrow by 2 o'clock of catering.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. So that's what really started booming. Like, I wasn't worried after that.
Yeah.
As soon as that happened, I mean, we were on the map. We were good. So, yeah, no, it's been real good since.
Any new innovations at all besides the catering when you first jump into it? Was there any, did you want to change anything in there? Was it?
So the original owner, George Spiro, worked there.
Yes.
So the guy was a great guy. Loved him. He passed away in 2009. When he found out we were going to buy the place, because my partner and I worked there under the previous owner, he wanted to make sure we weren't going to go and mess anything up. He's like, I want to make sure you guys are on the same page. So we worked for him for 2 years. Ron was already there a year before. Mm-hmm. So he goes, hey, I want to tell you something. I know you guys are young, because at the time we took over, I was 29. Yeah, I was 29 and Ron had just turned 30. He goes, I know you guys are young and you have all these ideas, but this place works. So remember that. He goes, there's a big thing when you take over an established business. You don't change the name and you don't change the staple items. He goes, other things, yeah, tinker, go ahead. So when we went in, they were selling 40 pounds of frozen chicken tenders a week. That's it. Wow. And they were mainly seafood. People would get lobster rolls, and they were known for the ice cream, huge scoops. So we went in, and we were coming from the back room, and we're like, oh, fresh chicken tenders. I wonder if that'll work. And then we were worried we weren't going to sell enough, because if you don't sell fresh product, it gets thrown out. So that's the main thing we did, was we came in and we switched frozen to fresh.
And how? What was the cost-wise? How was that a big difference, or was
No, time-wise, though, because you have to marinate the tenders.
Okay. Yeah. And you got to get it gone.
Yeah. And you have storage space. Yeah. So that walk-in is getting taken. The refrigerated cooler walk-in's taking up. So for the weekend, this weekend, I think we had 2,200 pounds of tenders in there. So that's what you have to account for. That's space. And we have limited space in the restaurant, so you have to reconfigure things.
Mm-hmm. So we're talking about this in a short show, but in the year's process, what was the year where you first bought it? How long was that time frame when you first bought it to when you were like, okay, I'm good now. We're established. We got the catering set up.
2003, and then it was 2008. So 2003 is when I had my daughter, Mia, mm-hmm. who's 19 now. She'll be 20 in September. But 2003 is when we bought it, and it wasn't until 2008. I'm like, all right, we're good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, good to the fact we could pay all our bills. We were getting paid regularly. Everything was good. We could take a vacation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it was 5 years.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
That work ethic, do you focus? We always talk a lot about work ethic. Is that a huge priority with you?
Huge thing. And I beat it into both of my kids' heads growing up.
Yeah.
Hey, you don't get something for nothing. You have to put the time in, and you're going to have hard times. It's the way it is. But if you have a good plan, in the end, it'll pay off.
Yeah. No, we talk about it a lot, and we've done a bunch of construction work and whatnot. But there's so many kids nowadays coming up where it's just... they're sitting around, they're on their phones, they don't want to work, and it's almost, you know, I don't know if it's a thing where they're getting too many things handed to them, or if it's...
We have that conversation all the time. Our employees, for the most part, are phenomenal workers, and they're hard workers, and they like being there. So we try to create a family atmosphere. We have about 80 employees right now. I think when we had to report to the state 2 weeks ago, it was 70 something. So they're all part-time. They're all high school, college. We have, I think, five, maybe six full-timers. But I juggle around schedules between sports, between extracurriculars. Hey, I'm on National Honor Society. Hey, I'm on DECA. So you have to keep, it's like a whirlwind. It's a jigsaw puzzle.
Is that difficult?
So I do all the scheduling. I do all the hiring. I do all that stuff.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there ever a time when you're just like, okay, I wish I could just pass this responsibility just off to someone else?
God, yeah. Right after COVID. So what we found with COVID, we prospered during COVID. Everything was shut down. We weren't. We were takeout. We were set up for it. We had five windows going. All the college kids weren't home because colleges weren't open.
Yeah.
They were all working. The hard part was if somebody was in contact with somebody, you had to quarantine them. So next thing you know, I'm out. This person's out 7 to 10 days. But if they were in 6 feet of somebody else, I had to quarantine them. Mm-hmm. And it got really hard. One time our kitchen manager was in contact with somebody, and then he was in contact with everybody in the kitchen. So then it's me, my business partner, his son, and one other kid who had COVID 2 months before are running the kitchen for 6-7 days until they were out of quarantine.
Was it fun in a way, or was it?
It was fun in a way, but
when you look back at it,
looking back on it, it's fun.
Yeah.
But at the time, I mean, so the way it used to work is I would in the kitchen and my partner was out front. We stopped that and we started training people to take over that position. And I found I was extremely rusty in that position.
Because it had been
years. Oh man, I was in the weeds quite a bit. Yeah.
So did you guys have to shut down at all?
We had to shut down maybe a day here and there. And then we would give the employees breaks.
Yeah.
Like we never closed on Mother's Day. It's the busiest day of the year that's not Christmas Eve. Christmas Eve, we go through 3,500 pounds of tenders from 11 to 4. And then, but yeah, so we're closed Mother's Day. We're open on Father's Day. For some reason, people don't really care about the dads. So... we work. We're closed 4th of July. I think we closed Memorial Day and Labor Day during COVID. Yeah, we take a few more days off now if we're extremely busy and the kids are spent.
Yeah, but COVID-wise, you didn't have to, just nothing?
No.
That's so different than a lot of places.
Yeah, we were real lucky. I think we closed down the first day when the first scare happened. Oh, and I think it was March 13th or something, and we didn't know if we were going to be open.
Uh-huh.
And we came in, and people just kept coming and coming. And we're trying to support the businesses that are open, like the Tap House in Hooksett was open. So we'd go and buy some produce there because he has a farm and things like that. So you try to, you know, help other people out during that time because it was so hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is being like a drive-in type feel, is winters difficult?
It used to be. But with the catering and those things, no, we have a regular clientele, and yeah, we're pretty good during the winter now too. Because at first it was rough, but yeah, I'd say winters took about 10 years to catch on because people were like, "Oh, you're only open during the summer." I'm like, "Nope, we're open year round." And at that time, we only closed 4 days.
Wow.
Now we close about 8, I think.
Do you source all your food from local farms?
No, we don't. Okay. We don't. We use some major distributors. We use a small local one called Favorite Foods out of, are they Summersworth? By Ossipee. I'm not exactly sure where. But yeah, they're by Ossipee. So that's our main people. But we also use Performance Goods. We use Ipswich Shellfish for seafood and Ipswich Maritime for seafood. And I think that, we use the Fruit Center down on Webster Street for our produce. And the main thing about the job that's been great over the years is the people, the kids. I mean, we've been to, you're going to get to that?
Well, no, I wanted to ask, what's the, you said, you know, mostly it's all high school, college.
Yeah.
What's the reason for that?
Well, they're looking for jobs. It's easy. They want to work. They're hungry. And I can interchange them pretty. They're flexible. So it's nice. And it's always been that way. I don't know why they set it up that way, but that's the way it's been set up.
Is there any lessons that you want to teach them as what's like the biggest lesson as a boss that you want to?
They pretty much already have respect that you have to work for it. And they do. And they appreciate it. They appreciate having a job.
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the summer, so the second week in August, we shut down early. We usually go to the back room and have all the kids come down. We pay the bill to send off. Thank you. The kids going to college. We give a speech. Christmas, we close down early the Monday before Christmas. We do a Yankee swap. We get a whole bunch of Chinese food in. Yeah, I mean, like I said, you want to keep that family oriented.
Yeah. If you were to say, see, it's funny because even from Burger King, from your start, you've been working in the restaurants and all.
Yeah, since I was 14.
Yeah, what's the biggest takeaway that you, what's the biggest lesson you had to learn initially, and then what's the overall kind of lesson that you would give to someone now?
The biggest lesson I had to learn initially that it's a team.
Uh-huh.
Like when you work in a restaurant, you're relying on everybody. So if you have a weak link, it's going to go down.
Yeah.
I mean, even at Burger King, from the person taking the order to the person making the food to the person expediting the food to get it out the window, it was all teamwork.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you have to work well with the team. And even if you have differences with people, which happens, you have to set that aside. And then you have to converse about it and work it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was watching the video that you guys had done. Just talk about a little bit, what's cruise night?
So unfortunately, cruise night had to end this year.
Oh, really?
So we knocked down the flower shop that was next door for extra parking. Mm-hmm. And when we did, we were no longer grandfathered into our original parking lot. So the city made us hire a firm, design the parking lot with so much green space. And when we did, we couldn't fit the cars in there anymore. So I had to end it.
And what was it in general?
Oh, old cars would come down. Up until about 2018, I'd play 50s rock and roll out there. We'd give them free drinks and prizes, and people would come down, look at the cars. And it was a local car club called the Time Travelers.
The Time Travelers.
Yeah.
Did you implement that?
No, that was the previous owner before us, John Servopoulos.
So you kept that going, though.
Yes.
Yeah. That's cool. Is there any at all competition, friendly competition, competition at all with chicken tenders are a big thing, and you got the Puritan where you used to work. Is there any competition at all?
No, none at all. I don't think anyone will ever be able to compete with them numbers-wise. I mean, like I said, we go through a few thousand pounds. They go through like 7 to 10.
Yeah.
And even when we talked to them originally about doing fresh chicken tenders, because we're friendly with them, they were at my wedding, they were at my business partner's wedding. My business partner golfs with Chuck Sturgio every Tuesday. I golf with Chuck sometimes. He's a nice guy.
Yeah.
We went in and said, hey, we're thinking about doing fresh chicken tenders. And they're like, no, that's fine. You're all the way across town. No big deal.
That's cool.
No. Yeah. No, we don't. We try to stay in our own lane, you know.
Yeah.
And we're happy for people like Charlie's and Goffstown's taken off. I haven't been there yet, but I hear their chicken tenders are phenomenal. And it's a source of pride, too, for Manchester chicken tenders.
Yeah.
Because I had never heard of chicken tenders before I moved here.
Really?
Honest. I swear to God.
I looked it up the other day, and they said it was invented in Manchester.
By Arthur Pappas's father, Charlie.
Yeah. I was like, what the hell are you talking about? Invented in Manchester.
Well, we got approached by Nate LaValle, and he said, hey, I'm trying to make Manchester the chicken tender capital of the world. Are you on board? I go, yeah, I had never heard about it before I came here. Because at Central, when I was there, it was open campus. We would walk across the street to G&V, get chicken tenders and fries.
That's funny.
Yeah.
With food cost, is there food cost increase a lot now?
It seems like it settled back down a little bit, but it was real high for a long time. We always had regular pricing. And then 2 years ago, we went to market pricing on clams and scallops because clams went up to $300 a gallon, where they started out at $75.
Okay.
Right now, the last bill, I think it was $163 a gallon, so we took market price off and we put a regular price back on it, I think, March. So, I mean, $163 is high, but it's not bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Innovations-wise now, is there anything now where you're like, you want to move into something new, or is there any?
No, we like exactly where we are right now. We have a nice groove. We have great employees. We're good with the innovations.
Yeah.
People have approached us about this 48 flavor soft serve machine. I'm like, If it's not broke, don't fix it. We have 44 flavors of hard ice cream, and we have a soft serve machine, and we seem to be doing okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the innovations were when we were struggling.
Yeah.
And that's where we branched out and did those. But right now, everything's going really well.
Yeah. What's the most underrated thing on the menu that you would, that people don't think of ordering? Huh.
I wasn't expecting that question. Underrated thing on the menu.
Something that you want more people to be aware of.
You know, we have a whole bunch of specialty wraps, and we do specials every day of those wraps. I would say the wraps are probably the most underrated thing. People overlook because they're getting the chicken tenders or they're getting the fried seafood, which are great and, I mean, always good.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I would have to say the wraps.
In your schedule now, like, can you run us through, like, what's your day? Is it busy? Is it
small? I can give it. So the day-to-day when we first took over is way different than now. We were working 6 days a week. We didn't take a vacation. We were working 3 days, 8 o'clock in the morning until 10, 11 at night. Now it happens every other week. We do a double. So two doubles. So I do Tuesdays and every other Friday. Ron does Wednesdays and every other Friday. We both chip in and kick in Sunday morning. But I have my brother-in-law who's a manager. He does Saturdays. Kristen Doucette comes in when we leave on Sunday, and she does Sundays. Monday night, Kristen does Mondays. We have a kitchen manager now named Zach. These are things we never had before. That's a luxury that I love. They're great people, and they do a great job.
Mm-hmm. Is how big is trust for you with all these?
Huge, huge. And it's built up over time. Like, Kristen's been there since she was 14, and now she's 30. Yeah. Sorry, Kristen. Zach's been there since he was 15, and now he's 30.
Wow.
But their aspiration is to one day buy Goldenrod from us when we sell. Mm-hmm. And my brother-in-law, Steve Smitty, who's the manager on Saturdays, he had his own restaurant in Durham right after he graduated. And he ran that for 5-6 years, said, I'm all done, and got out, started doing sales. And then he came back. He goes, you guys looking for a manager? And I go, I don't know. Let me talk to Ron. Ron goes, yes, yes, we're looking for a manager. So he jumped right in. It's been a good fit.
And the hiring process, you said you still do it now. Is it, you know, is it a long process? Is it quick?
It's not long. And usually they stick around. Like, I'm actually stuck a little bit this fall for employees because I had so many college kids come back this spring to work for the summer, so I couldn't really hire. And usually that's okay. You know, you need about 25 people out front to carry the fall into the winter, and then I hire again in February. I didn't realize how many people graduated last year, and I looked at the schedule a week and a half ago. I'm like, ooh, we're about 15 short. So the last 5 days I hired 9 people, and I have some more phone calls out there. So the hard part is you got to stagger training them because you only can train so many at a time.
No, it's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Community-wise, how big is the community to you? And is there any charity stuff you do?
We do a ton of stuff. We give discounts to schools for party orders, ice creams. We do Boys and Girls Club breakfast. We donate to that. The HOPE program, HOPE New Hampshire, yes. My friend Matty Corshane. We donate to him. Central Little League. We do. If you ever been in Goldenrod, there's, I don't know, 80 pictures of sports teams that we've sponsored. So we keep up with everything, and you have to, because without the community, you have nothing.
Yeah.
Is there? You seem like you constantly have to be on the ball, on top of everything. What's your, like? What do you do for a hobby? What are your hobbies?
I golf. I golf. I used to play in men's basketball leagues, but injuries. So since I had the restaurant, I had rotator cuff, bicep on the left, and at the back rim I had rotator cuff and labrum on the right. So I played men's basketball leagues until I was like 42, and now I'm 49. So then I started playing more golf, because you can't really get hurt playing golf. I mean, you can throw your back out, but it's hard to hurt yourself playing golf.
Yeah. As a business owner too, and having so much going on, is there ever a time when you sometimes have to, you know, put your things aside and be like, okay, I need to relax for a little bit? Or Or is it sometimes where you're feeling like, okay, I'm working nonstop since I wake up?
Yeah, the year, so 2020 was COVID. 2021 was real hard because the college kids went back, but we were still as busy because people were afraid to come out, mm-hmm. and we didn't have the staffing. So we were working all the time, except for now it's 18 years later and we're not that young anymore. Mm-hmm. And we're putting those hours and we were all spent.
Yeah.
Yeah, so last April, I took a vacation. Where did I go? Maybe Marco Island, and it was wonderful.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Actually, yeah, we went to the Mulcahy's.
Yes.
Down in Marco, so I think I saw you there.
Yeah, you might have. Yeah. No, that's funny.
We popped by, yeah.
any messages you want to give about the restaurant in general?
It's a great family atmosphere. We found when we first took over, there was a lot of elderly people coming in, and since we've taken over, there's a lot of young families.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's been great. Message for the restaurant mainly is, yeah, we treat them like their own kids. I've spoke at a wedding. We've been to births of people. We're going to a wedding this weekend for a girl who worked for us 4 years ago. It's great to have those connections, and that's, I think that's the most important part.
Do you guys advertise at all for the restaurant?
No, all we do is donate. Usually if you donate, they put something in there and like, oh, we're going to give you an advertisement. And that was one of the things we did when we first took over. We're not going to advertise. We're good.
It'll
be word of mouth.
It's been open since the 50s.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, great. No, I mean, we just wanted to have you on real quick just to chat about everything and go over everything. And we appreciate it for you coming on.
Oh, I appreciate you guys inviting me. Thank you.
Yeah.